Hello and welcome to Databook. I'm Jack Murtha, and this week we have a special guest co-host, Ryan Black. He's an editor for Healthcare Analytics News. You might have heard him on last week's Insight.
Hey Jack, just happy to be here.
Anyway, our story starts with a revelation, a finding that sort of punched healthcare in the gut. It was the realization of one of the industry's greatest cybersecurity concerns. And it came in the form of a report from Symantec.
So if you've heard of Symantec, it's probably through Norton, which is the very common software program designed to protect your computer from, and this isn't a surprise, viruses. Symantec bought Norton in 1990, and its name is even featured on the logo.
But Symantec does a lot more than develop software. It also patrols the internet for new malware and the bad guys behind it.
So that responsibility belongs to Symantec's Security Response Attack Investigation Team.
That's a mouthful.
It certainly is. But this small team does a whole lot to defend the internet. Its members use algorithms and other advanced tactics to find the latest and gravest threats. And toward the end of April, they revealed a hacker group with a nasty track record of targeting healthcare.
That group's name? Orange Worm. So the news of Orange Worm spread fast and far. All of the big mainstream media outlets covered its unveiling, and they're still covering it.
After last year's WannaCry and NotPetya cyber attacks, news of healthcare hacking entered the public consciousness. If you throw in Russia's online activities and the Facebook privacy scandal, it's pretty easy to see where the story took off.
The thing is, Orange Worm was kind of sloppy.
Symantec called its malware noisy. It didn't care whether its victims knew it was there.
It wasn't super technical. In fact, it targeted really old systems with really glaring vulnerabilities.
And so naturally, that meant Orange Worm went after healthcare.
Naturally. The hacker or hackers typically went through imaging systems, like MRI machines, X-ray machines, that kind of stuff. And for several reasons that you'll hear soon enough, they had huge security holes that were just waiting for hackers to take advantage of.
So cybersecurity experts have warned of this exact scenario for years. They knew a group like Orange Worm would come in and cause chaos eventually.
And that's exactly what Orange Worm did. It infiltrated unsuspecting institutions, even companies that worked with healthcare but weren't of healthcare. And then Orange Worm waited to get the information it wanted.
So that wasn't normal. Not much about Orange Worm was normal. Symantec's investigators spent years trying to figure out this group.
And what did they find? Well, for starters, they found that healthcare is still very much at risk of an Orange Worm attack.
Rather than spend any more time telling you the Orange Worm story, we figured we'd go right to the source.
This week on Databook, our guest is John DiMaggio. And he's a senior threat intelligence analyst for Symantec's security response team.
So he was one of the people who found Orange Worm, and he's going to take us back to the start of this story. John, welcome to Databook.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to talking to you about this.
So, John, can you please walk us through the discovery of Orange Worm?
Sure, absolutely. In our role, one of the things that we do is we look for new and unknown attacks. The team primarily looks at targeted attacks, and a lot of times that falls into cyber espionage or organized cyber crime. But anything that looks like it's well-organized, thought out, and it has a campaign of some sort are the types of things that we look at. Well, with this particular incident the way it all began was we have another team called TAA that works to help put automation into the type of stuff that we under AIT find interesting. So for the past year and a half now, we've been working with them to try to use automation to find the types of activity that, you know, usually are associated with targeted attacks. With that, one of the things that came up about, I don't know, a year and a half ago, it was in 2016, maybe it's almost 2 years now. One of the things that we found was a unknown binary that had some interesting and suspicious attributes to it. It wasn't defined right away as malware, but some of the attributes of the binary itself did some things that drew interest. And what I mean like that is it had characteristics that were similar to a backdoor. So we did some static analysis on it and dug a little bit deeper, and we wanted to find out the functionality of this malware. What does it do? What are we really looking at here? And what we saw was this was a module-based backdoor that provided remote access to the attacker and also allowed for the loading of other modules. So in other words, it was something that was designed to sort of retrofit into multiple environments where they could add or take away different modules in order to fit the need of that specific environment. So once we had established that, we gave it a very specific and unique signature. Now, the reason that we did that is so that we could now track it. You know, it's like an ocean. It makes it very difficult sometimes when you're just looking for one fish. So what we had to do is we used this signature then to sort of do a rear view look back at everything that we had over the past few years and pull out anything that was related or associated with any hits from that signature. In doing so, when it pulled everything out from the rest of the activity, it was a really well put together picture going back to January of 2015, targeting a large number of organizations. From there, that's kind of what sparked our investigation. That's where we knew that we had an organized group, and it was in the next steps in which we started to recognize that some of these were affiliated with the healthcare industry.
How did you come to understand that Orange Worm was mainly attacking healthcare?
The first victim that I believe that we looked at was for a organization that created the labels that go on prescription bottles, fairly obscure. There were some others that were in IT, and then there were some that were in pharmaceutical. So as we started to profile these victims and sort of put them into various industries, what we were founding, again, while it was not crystal clear at first, when we looked at them all together, we started to see that these were sort of like outlying organizations that would fit in nicely with supply chain to the healthcare industry, to that vertical itself. And it was almost as what we were seeing was the adversary was starting with what you might call, you know, low-hanging fruit, things where smaller organizations that may not have as strong as a security posture or even feel that they need to have as strong as a security posture, but that shared trust relationships with other more sensitive healthcare organizations. And they sort of moved from one organization to the next until they got to what would appear to be their actual targets, which were some of your more larger healthcare organizations that had a lot more at stake and a lot more interesting data to an adversary.
And what's unique about the Orange Worm breaches compared to the kinds that you usually see?
The type of content that my group focuses on is maybe 10% of all the activity that we see a year. That 10%, however, tends to be your very interesting and unique attackers that can cause the most devastation to an organization, whether it be through stealing intellectual property or financial gain or just public embarrassment and what happens when, you know, you get outed publicly under a large attack and you lose data pertaining to your customers. So having said that, this fit in with some of the other types of groups that we look at, but what was different about it and what really stuck out to us was the malware, while it did have functionality that would be definitely advantageous to an attacker, what was not was the fact that how this malware spread was very basic. It was extremely noisy. So from that aspect, it did not fit to what we normally see. The thing that did fit, though, was the level of persistence. And what I mean by persistence is not only how long they were on certain systems, but I mean also how focused they were and determined to get to certain systems and stay on them. So they might infect 100 systems that those systems, you know, they collect information on and they send it back to their command and control. And then they make a determination on who their high value targets are. That might only be 10 out of those 100, but those 10 are who they spend most of their time on. Besides the organized, clear objective of targeting these healthcare organizations, it was really that focus and the fact that this wasn't just someone out for financial gain. This was someone who wanted to collect information. A lot of times we see that with cyber espionage groups. So that's another vector that we had to rule out. But at the end of the day, one of the things that we saw when looking at that was, as I mentioned earlier, this group's really noisy. Well, that really doesn't fit what we usually see with espionage. But not only were they really noisy, but there was no capability or effort to clean up these infections once they were done. Therefore, they just kept beaconing out every 6,200 seconds. They beacon out to the command and control control. They're actively scanning inside the network. It just remained there stagnant, not stagnant, but active on that network. So my point is that we would have expected them to clean it up. We would have expected them to have made some sort of an effort to not get caught, but they did not do that.
What sort of machines did Orange Worm target?
There's sort of your phase one where they're getting onto a victim's network and they have, you know, a larger number of infected victims. And then the next phase would be where they really scale it down after collecting some information and they sort of pick the machines that they're interested in. And that's where they would spend most of the time. By looking at the big picture, it was clear that almost every one of the organizations of interest had something to do with the healthcare vertical. That was definitely a very clear sign as we started piecing this together over time. Like I said, when we were just looking at one initial infection, that doesn't necessarily show true. But looking at over time, it was very clear. So while we can say that, the things that they were specifically interested in, they were much more interested in systems that had to do with the actual technology related to devices that were actually on these networks. So that's kind of where we started to see stuff like the X-ray devices, the MRI devices, and the systems that touched those devices and had trusted relationships with those devices. That's where we really saw them focusing their time on. And it is a little bit wider than just that example, but it was basically those type of systems and systems, like I said, that have some sort of relationship or trust and communicate with those systems directly.
What did you and your team think when you pieced all this together? What was the feeling in the room?
The first reaction was sort of differences of opinion in what we were looking at here, whether or not this was something that was going to be crime related or nation state. And the reason that I keep mentioning that is, you know, there's been quite a few high level, publicly known nation state attacks against the healthcare industry since 2014 that have taken place. So that was our biggest concern, because if you are dealing with a nation state, not to minimize corporate espionage or cyber criminals for financial gain, but you're looking at two very different groups and you're looking at two very different groups that have very different resources. So if it had been a nation state, then there's a whole different way in which we would have to react to that and who we would notify and things of that nature. So that was sort of our first thing, was sort of an internal, you know, I don't know, argument's not the right word, but an internal debate on whether or not, you know, this was or was not, you know, one of those three categories, cybercrime, corporate espionage, or nation state cyber espionage. So we had to sort of prove or disprove that from the facts. So that was the next part of our investigation, was looking at that and sort of laying that out. What we really found with that is, while these guys were persistent and organized, as I alluded to earlier, it just the big picture, the tactics just really didn't fit in with any sort of nation state operator. The malware itself, besides just being noisy and no attempt to clean up, the malware itself just using, you know, only having really the ability to work and to spread over open network shares and things of that nature, really limit its capability in networks that don't have a lot of use of legacy networks or systems and operating systems within it. And any sort of other network that didn't have those, it would be much less probable that it would spread and infect at the rate that it did.
And how concerned should healthcare be about Orange Worm?
The good news here, this is really easy to eliminate and to prevent the malware from being able to function on your network. Simple network segmentation, basically closing off your network so that, you know, there's some sort of secure authentication that takes place between different segments that don't need to be touching one another. That would stop this. Again, it only works with these open shares, and it's really primarily the older operating systems that rely on this. So that's the good news for this. The bad news for this is, while this backdoor is relatively simple, it was very effective for the adversary. The access that it provided, the access that the adversary had on these networks and these systems, would have allowed them to do anything that they wanted to these systems. Now, what we saw was primarily information gathering, some sort of corporate espionage is what this looks most likely was the objective of these guys. However, it could have been much, much worse. They could have started shutting down devices or doing things to destroy devices or things of that nature. They could have been much more destructive in nature if that had been their goal. They did have that capability that just wasn't what they chose to do. So while today, you know, we're talking about this from a corporate espionage stance, it could be much worse in the future. So it's kind of a wake-up call. Hey, let's fix this before, you know, we have a much worse story 6 months from now that we're talking about.
Can you take us to April 23rd? The day that Symantec unveiled its findings?
With a lot of the victims that we had, we had been reaching out and talking to them since shortly we identified this in 2016. So there had been a lot of correspondence and a lot of cleanup that had been taking place prior to this going public. Having said that, it still, with the day that we released this, the amount of interest and the storm that came with this was huge. I mean, I've been, you know, on this, I've been doing this for 14 years and on this team for 4 of those years. And I do a lot of the, it's only 5 of us. So I do a lot of the, you know, media interviews that come along with it. And I don't think I've had a threat yet that has taken as much of my time as this. It's been a ton of interest, and not just from media, but from actual, you know, healthcare organizations that reach out, their security operations centers, some of their even up to the CISO level, where there's an interest in this. So it's really gotten a lot of tension. And I honestly, if you're going to take anything good from a bad thing happening, that's what it is. Because like I said, if this is a wake up call that prevents this from happening again, where again, it could be it for a destructive purpose or anything, you know, negative like that, this will be a win. Because right now all you have, and I don't mean to minimize it, but what you have is someone stealing information that's more from a corporate espionage perspective. It's not damaging any equipment. It's not preventing people from getting treatment. It's not, you know, it's not destroying any hard drives or machines.
Does that reaction tell us that healthcare might finally be waking up to these major vulnerabilities?
Yeah, what I can say towards that is we've received a lot of calls from healthcare organizations, and we've had a lot of conversations that have taken place, and there seems to be a sincere interest in moving forward from, you know, yesterday's infrastructure and environments and yesterday's security requirements, and really trying to start to, you know, blaze new trails in where we are thinking about security. That's definitely happening. It's just going to take time. And I think the more stories like this that get out, the more organizations globally that are going to get the word. But it does appear that there is a definite interest at a very high level within healthcare organizations. So yeah, the short answer is I do think that there is an effort to make change. And I do think that there is, that organizations are waking up. We're not seeing the, you know, there was a long time where it would just be kind of, oh yeah, that's nice, and go about your daily business. This doesn't seem to be the case. There are guys, SOC managers and incident response folks that, you know, I talk to on a regular basis, that when they see something where they're clearly have an interest and they clearly care and want to fix it. So I think we are moving in the right direction.
John DiMaggio is a senior threat intelligence analyst for Symantec, and he is one of the people that helped uncover Orange Room. Thanks for coming on Databook, John.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
For this week's edition of The Insight, we welcome John Nye to Databook.
He's a senior director of cybersecurity research and communications for Synergist Tech, and he is a terrific guy.
And he's here to explain why Orange Worm and other groups like it aren't going anywhere. Not unless healthcare makes some big changes, that is. So, John, take it away.
Orange Worm is very interesting in the sense that it's something, at least I and most others who've worked in healthcare, have been waiting for. It's kind of like we've been expecting something along these lines for some time. And that's because, unfortunately, in healthcare, there are so many connected systems, and they're all looked at differently, despite the fact that every single one of these systems is an endpoint and is connected to the network and either ingests or produces data. And much of that data is sensitive, patient-related data. And when we look at an attack like Orange Worm, where they're using old malware to attack old operating systems in modern healthcare organizations, it shows a systemic problem that goes much further than simply one group of people out there making the attacks. There needs to be a change in approach and a change in attitude to how we look at all these devices. So it's really easy for us to look at all of the servers and the laptops, the endpoints that we traditionally think of as endpoints, and put the security on them. but the devices that we quickly dismiss or are not owned by IT, they're owned by operations, those are the devices that get left in the lurch and end up becoming easy fodder for attackers to infiltrate your organization. So I think it's important for healthcare organizations moving forward as they work with these third parties that own a lot of these connected devices, especially in the imaging suite, which is specifically what Orangeworm attacks. We see MRIs and x-ray machines that aren't owned by the organization at all, and the manufacturers have very little, if any, responsibility to keep them up to date, to protect them, and et cetera. So I think it's really up to the healthcare industry to step up and enforce that when they sign these contracts and they make these agreements. I think that will make a big difference in the future.
Well, that's it for this episode of Databook. I want to thank my esteemed colleague, Ryan Black, for taking the mic with me this week. And also a big thumbs up to MJH Studios, which recorded this episode of Databook.
And I want to thank my colleague, Jack Murtha, for calling me esteemed. Be sure to check out Healthcare Analytics News. Our website is hcanews.com. You can find our Orange Worm coverage there and tons of other cybersecurity information.
A whole lot of cybersecurity and AI and big data and all that good stuff. hcanews.com. And follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. That's hca_news. And drop us a line about which healthcare apps you're using. We might end up writing about them if you give us a good one.
And also, if you like this podcast with myself or with Tom Castles co-hosting, please subscribe, rate, and review.
And most of all, update your darn software.
Patch it, people.